Look at it.
And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came on him? And he said, of a child. Meaning since when he has been born. Hallelujah.
You may need to do a brief recap to be so that our friends online can be on the same page with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, we are studying the book of Mark chapter 9 and from verse 14 to 29. And we are trying to establish on a title, Pray and Prevail. Pray and Prevail. And we've been able to see that it takes prayer to prevail in our world. If you can't pray, you cannot prevail. And the truth is this, God will not invade or come into human territory without using a man. And that's why God depends on our prayer life. The only channel, let me say this, the only channel, write it down, the only channel that God deploys spiritual resources to change activities in the earthly realm is through the prayer of faith. Write it down, please. The only channel through which God deploys supernatural resources to change activities in the earthly realm, to change and stop satanic activities in the earthly realm, is through the weapon of prayer. And when there is no man praying, meaning nothing will happen. Praise God. And so we are studying Mark chapter 9, verse 14. We've been able to see how in Mark chapter 9, from verse 14 to 29, how the disciples of Jesus could not cast out a demon that was inside of a boy. And the scribes began to question their authority. So it became a show of shame because the Bible says the great crowd of multitude came around them and they were so helpless, like, this is a boy. They could not cast out the demon inside of the boy. The parents that were hoping that, okay, these are the followers of Jesus. These people have been with Jesus when Jesus, do these things. They should know how to do it. So it was becoming like a shame. Can I talk to you? When you don't have a consistent prayer life, there is possibility that the enemy will put a show of shame around your life. They will do everything to question. Have you seen people act? They ask believers, and you say you are a believer. Why is this happening to you? They are questioning your fellowship. They are questioning your identity. It was what they did to the disciples. They questioned them. The scribes, people who use logic to explain, they began to tell them, you guys, who are you? Who sent you? Who asked you to even lay hands? Praise God. And so we saw how Jesus came and rescued them and asked the scribes, why do you question them? And they say, well, we brought a child that was possessed with a dumb spirit and your disciples could not cast them out. And for Jesus, verse 19, he was disappointed. You know, another person will say, you know, they are still disciples. Jesus did not pamper their inability to do what they should do. He didn't pamper them. Say, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you and bring him? And I will say, bring him to me. Jesus was disappointed at their incapacity. We are going to see why they couldn't cast out the demon. We are going to see. And they brought him unto him. And he saw him straight away. The spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Meaning, when the demon inside of the boy saw Jesus, he could not stand his presence. He wanted to do all he could do to cause the boy the last pain because he knew it was over for him as soon as he saw Jesus. And we made reference to Acts chapter 19, the sons of Sceva, when they brought a man that was possessed and they say, in the name of Jesus that Paul preached, get out. They didn't have the atmosphere that Paul and Jesus had. And the Bible said they were beaten. The man that was possessed pounced on them and teared them, stripped them naked. Praise God. So, it's important that for you to prevail in life, Now, prevalence is not only to prevail is not only in spiritual matters, in your marriage. Listen to me. If you are married, you are not praying, it's a matter of time. The Bible said the enemy, the devil, is roaming about, looking for whom to devour. He's looking for a prayerless life to cause havoc in your education, cause havoc in your marriage, cause havoc. When he finds you, when you ought to be praying, you are snoring. Have you forgotten the scripture that says, when men slept? Meaning, let me tell you something. That word, slept, did not mean literal sleeping. You are sleeping when you are not praying. It could be daytime. When you live a prayerless life, you are that scripture. You are the person that scripture is describing. When men slept, the enemy comes and sow tares, sow weed in their vine. And so, when the enemy moves around and see you sleeping, so not to have a consistent faith prayer life is equal to a sleeping believer. You are sleeping. It's called spiritual slumber. You are actually slumbering. You are sleeping spiritually. It is not literal sleep. It's spiritual sleep. So when men slept, the enemy comes. So it explains at times some of the things that happen in the life of some believers. It explains when we begin to question, why should this happen in this life? It's a pointer to a life that has no prayer altar. When your life does not have prayer altar, anything can happen around your life because there's no altar. It is an altar that you put in place to detect to the enemy. An altar is a platform where you stand to tell the enemy where the enemy belongs. And so when you don't have one, you don't have what to say. You don't know what, you don't, listen to me, prayer, there's nothing, let me tell you something. I'm a beneficiary of a prayer life. I don't know what my life will look like now if not for prayers. Not, you know, another thing we used to think is, we think, well, my father is praying for me. Listen to me. There's a difference between somebody praying for you and that you are praying by yourself. Because when you are praying by yourself, you are building momentum. My prayer for you can only give you a cover, but cannot build in you spiritual momentum. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? When I'm praying for you as a pastor, I am giving you a cover, but it cannot amount to spiritual growth. Until you engage in spiritual prayers by yourself, then you are personally, you know, putting demand on your spiritual life, then it becomes for you a plus. If I'm praying for you, you could have a cover. You could have a cover from the enemy. But to come to a place of maturity and growth, you have to. That's why, you know, if you look at the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 29, before verse 29, if you read from verse 26, he said, even the Spirit, knowing our infirmity, that we know not how to pray, making intercession for us. Now, that intercession for us doesn't mean he is praying for us and we are not involved. It means he is praying with us. Now, if you look at it from other version of the Bible, he is tearing us up when we pray. That's why if you want to pray at times, you actually don't feel praying most often when you want to pray. There's nobody that will tell you that it's not always, you know, in agreement with the flesh to pray. You just pray because you need to pray, not because you feel like praying. And so as soon as you go beyond the level of feelings, you conquer your flesh, you conquer your emotions, because your body does not want to pray. That's the truth. The flesh, where the devil wants to control you, does not want. As soon as you overcome that side, and you switch, the Holy Spirit takes over from there. You will now be wondering, about 1 hour into the prayer, you are so strong that you don't want to stop praying. Compare,
how long shall I be with you? How long shall I see you? Bring him unto me.
Verse 20.
And they brought him unto him, and he saw him. Straight away, the Spirit teared him, and he fell on the ground and wallow
foaming, and he asks, how long since when he was a child? Now, let's go on. And oftentimes, verse 22, it asked, cast him into fire. Look at this demon. Why would the demon put the boy in the fire to end his life? Did the demon throw him into fire? Do you know how the Bible describes them? He said, we rest too not. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If you read further, it says, for we rest not against principalities and powers, but spiritual wickedness, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly. Now, they are wicked spirits. Listen to me. They hate humanity. They hate human beings. That's the truth. So, the Bible says, the often cast him into fire and into the waters to destroy him. And if thou can't do anything, have compassion on us and help us. They are already insulting Jesus. And even if you cannot do like your disciple did, just show us mercy. Look at it, verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straight away, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Can you imagine? The father has gone through pain. He was already crying. The Bible says he said with tears. He said with tears, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came unto him together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was, now it was the father that cried earlier. It was the boy that was crying. Now it was that spirit that cried. When the spirit saw a higher power, The spirit cried. And rent him so and came out of him. And he saw he was one. And he was as one dead. That's the boy. In so much that many said he is dead. Some people thought he had died. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he rose. Verse 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples, now all of those period, the disciples are positioned like people, that have disappointed their masters, they have disappointed the people who trusted in them, they have disappointed the entire, multitude around. So the Bible says, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Why? It's like they are lamenting. Why do we have to go through that kind of shame? Why couldn't we cast him out? Look at the answer Jesus gave to them. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing except by prayer. The King James Version had fasting. If you check the TLB, the NLB, the message, there's no fasting there. Because you can actually fast and not pray. Yeah. There are people who fast. I call it hunger strike. If you fast and you don't pray, you have wasted an entire day. You have starved yourself. The essence of fasting is to be able to concentrate in prayer. That's the essence. It's nothing more. You are not fasting to help God. You are fasting to help you. The essence of, because fasting has been made a religious thing now lately among the churches in Nigeria, which is there's nothing wrong having days of fasting, but it has become a kind of a religious competition in the body of Christ. 100 days fast from January, 50 days fast. Some people do it routinely without the main subject, which is prayer. The essence of fasting is to just get you focused to pray. That's all. That is all. And so if you fast and don't pray, it's starvation. But in the actual Greek context, it is prayer, he said. They added fasting. the writers here added fasting. He said, this kind can't come forth by nothing except by prayer. Meaning, you cannot prevail over devils like this. You can't prevail over demonic and the activities of darkness except, you know, that was why I said earlier on, the disciples remembered this lesson. That was why in Acts chapter 6, when they were being distracted from their primary assignment of praying and study, you know, they didn't add fast. They said that we may concentrate on the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the word. They remembered the failure they have had. They learned this is a lesson learned in a bitter way. They learned this with shame. And they will never forget this. So when distraction was coming, they said no. And so from that experience, we could see, let me show you a few activities in the book of Acts. Let's see Acts chapter 2. I want to show you why we have different signs and wonders, evidence of power, to a point that the shadow of Peter was healing people is traceable to nothing but a life of prayer. Because as at the time they were doing all those things, the kind of revelation we have today, they didn't have it. In fact, Peter taught in Acts chapter 3, when they healed a man that was lame, as at that time, they were thinking salvation was just for the Jews. They didn't have so many revelations like Apostle Paul came later and began to teach in the epistles. They had one commitment, a constant prayer life. Acts chapter 3, the Bible says, as they were going according to their custom to the temple to pray. It was a custom. It was, when they say something is a custom, it was their routine. It was their habit. They were habitual praying disciples. And they met a man by the gate called the Beautiful Gate. And they say, we don't have anything, but we have the name. Now let me show you in the book of Acts. You see that in Acts chapter 3. I want to show you another place in Acts chapter 2. Very important. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at it from verse 42. And they continue steadfastly. Now look at it. Mark that word, continued. Mark that word, continued. Now it did not only say continue. They were steadfast. Meaning they did not only continue. They had a steady consistency. Like it was steady. They were not missing time. They had scheduled their prayer, their life for these things I'm about to read out to you. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. These were the things the disciples did routinely. Prayers was involved. No wonder we saw the kind of results. They continued. Now, the person that wrote the book of Acts wrote it after all these things have happened. So he wrote it from the end. He already saw all that happened. So he knew the end result before he started writing. Are you with me now? He saw all that happened. So he was trying to explain to us from the beginning that they had a consistent prayer life all through. So it was not only talking about what they started. It was talking about how they started and how they finished. It's like you are asked to write a story about a church service. You will write the story with the end in mind. Are you getting me now? So the writer wrote the book of Acts with all the signs, the miracles, the wonders that happened. He wrote it with the end in mind. So he was showing us in chapter 2 and verse 42 that they had a consistent prayer life all through. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in prayers. I love this. They will not want to have that kind of shame that happened to them in Mark chapter 9 repeat itself. They will not want that kind of embarrassment that happened, that a whole multitude gathered around them. Can you imagine you go for evangelism? As we are evangelizing in the world there, for instance, and maybe they ask few people to go down the whole road around that roundabout, and somebody among those people who are blind, and just bring one of their people and say, please help us open the eyes of this person. And as you are struggling to do that, all these area boys start gathering and say, you know, Shele. And you know, people start gathering, religious people start, all their fast around start gathering. You know what kind of shame is that? That was the experience they had. Listen to me. To live a prevailing life. The Bible says in the book of Acts 19 verse 20. It says, in the city of Ephesus, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Say after me, say the word prevailed. Because they prayed. Yeah. You cannot have a successful gospel life if you are not a praying person. If you are not a praying person, you cannot be a good missionary. You will be conquered. Let me share the testimony of one of our fathers in the Lord, Reverend Samson Ajitomobi. He was sharing one of the experiences they had when they went on a mission field. They went to a land, and as they got to that land, they already put their platform to start their, you know, missionary work. A woman came with a cane, a whip in her hand, and started flogging Reverend Samson Ajitomobi. Flog, literally. Physical, it wasn't spiritual. Flog like this. Flog. And you know, the people around him were trying to restrain her. He said, leave her alone. After he flogged her, he said, how dare you come and take another person's land? How dare you come and take charge of my domain? And it was found out that that woman is a witch controlling that territory. And they packed everything and left. And engaged in months of prayer. Months of intercession. And they went back. The day they got there, the woman shouted where she was and died. They didn't go to her. They didn't cast. They just set their platform and started their evangelism. The woman died. Why? They prevailed before they entered the land. There's no, gimmicks in this. You don't fake spiritual things. You'll be embarrassed. Somebody say something. He say, what's the work of a man of God? What's the work of a pastor? Is there anybody can do it? He say, go and pray for a madman. Let him handle you. You know that there's even between when. At least that's the truth. You will be messed up in certain, you know, encounters if you are not a praying person. So, what precedes prevailing in every area of your life is prayer. So, it is wisdom to pray every day. It is wisdom to pray every day. Because one of the things I found out from experience is that I get solution to almost everything when I'm praying. I hear the voice of God. I see things. In fact, if there is somebody I ought to have called while I'm praying, God will call this person, pray for this person, minister, counsel this person. He opens people's life to me when I am praying. So we prevail. And let me tell you something. Things don't just happen physically. When you don't prevail, because in the spiritual, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, for we wrestle not, the weapon of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty through God. Pulling down of strongholds. Meaning, when we engage in spiritual warfare, some things happen in the spirit. There's collision in the spirit. So, who becomes a victor in the physical is a function of who wins in the spiritual. Praise God. So, to live a winning life. So, prayer is the key that unlocks faith. When you are praying, your faith, there's a way your spirit is, your faith is steered up. And it is the greatest moment to hit your target when your faith is steered. is the best moment to hit any spiritual target. It's not like somebody who is targeting a particular thing physically. There's that best time that you gain the correct focus. If you lose that time, you may not be able to hit the target. There's that time where you gain the highest focus. So clear and accurate. That is what it is when you are praying. Your faith is stirred up. It is always the best time to hit your target in the spirit. And there's a way your spirit confirms to you that something has happened. Having been through a prayer life, a prayer time, there's this witness in your spirit that you have touched something in the spirit realm. You just know in your spirit. Not because anybody comes to you and says, "Thus says the Lord." There's a witness in your spirit that I have touched something. Yeah. Often when God asks you to pray, say, "My son, wake up and pray." And when your spirit is stirred, you start wondering the kind of prayers coming out of your mouth. You didn't write them down. So sharp. You are hitting a target. It's your best moment. It's just like a warrior that wants to shoot an arrow against the enemy. When he gets the best focus to hit the enemy, he hits the enemy. That's what prayer does. Hallelujah. And so, look at what happened. The Bible said, not this kind of prevailing cannot happen. You cannot win this kind of battle. Meaning, listen, there are things you do physically. You can use logic. But listen, there are some, when it has to do with confronting spiritual wickedness, you must pray. Can I talk to you? There is no solution to defeating satanic forces without prayer. Let anybody tell you any gimmicks. Remove prayer, you have failed. You are a failure in motion. In defeating any spiritual attack or forces, in defeating any satanic advancement towards you, no matter what anybody teaches you, remove prayer out of it, then you are a failure in motion. A failure that is about to happen. No matter how gifted you are, don't pray. That your gift will not lift you. It's not all gifts that lift men. Go and see gifted people around, wallowing in shame. They have depended so much on their gift things that they have left, that was the temptation that came around the disciples. They said, "No, though we have the anointing, we have everything, but let's focus on our life of prayer." Most often, gifted people are distracted by their gifts. Yeah. So they go on manifesting the gift. You are somebody that sings. You sing to a point that you don't have a prayer time again. You are a preacher. It has happened to me before. I was a preaching machine. Oh my good God. I could preach anytime, any day, to a point that I didn't have a time to pray. I didn't know that I was already getting dried. And one thing is this. When you base your strength only on gift, you don't quickly notice you are going down, because gifts will keep deceiving you until there's an attack, until the enemy comes to weigh you. So you know that you have missed something. Then you now run back to the place of prayer. For days, I'll go from one meeting to the other preaching. Preach. No 10 minutes of prayer. Why? I was already looking like a professional preacher. It is gift that makes a man think like that. Because when you are gifted to do something, it is a gift. But listen to me. If you don't have a prayer life that protects the gift, that provides a cover around your giftings and the demonstration, it's a matter of time. So you see many gifted people were not lifted. They are just there by the wayside of life. They've been crushed down. There's nothing like the gift of prayer. You grow in prayer. You grow your life deliberately praying. Hallelujah. So don't get distracted. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, he said, and certain teachers and prophets. I love that scripture. Certain teachers. These people were already, they were itinerary ministers. They were engaged already in ministry. The Bible says, certain prophets and teachers, the Bible says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And I taught you in one of our series, to minister to the Lord means they prayed to the Lord. That's the meaning of they ministered. Verse 2 says, they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit led them. They ministered to the Lord. So, when you pray and prevail, you prevail not because you are independent of God. It's because you are in fellowship with God. You pray and prevail not because you have some independent ability because you pray. It's because prayer brings you in such an intimacy with God. And that is where your prevailing lies. Yeah. That's where it lies. So that you are praying is not because of your prayer you have become an independent authority. No. It is that prayer that brings you into fellowship. Fellowship brings you to the class of God. The class of God gives you prevailing capacity over the enemy. Yes. You're not in every area of your life, you will see success like this every area. Let me give you a testimony. I was trusting God so many years ago. I was trusting God for a house. I was at that time living with my parents. I was already working in bank. So a lot of my friends wants to come visit me, and I was not comfortable having them around. So I tried to get house. Do you know, at times, as little as some things can be, the devil can put so much blocks. Do you know what Paul said? He said, I desire to come to you. He said, but the enemy restrained me. The enemy, he said, an open and effectual door was open unto me. He said, but there are many adversaries. You see, one of the things the devil wants to do all the time is to make you think he is not there. So you don't need to pray. The devil wants to give you a mindset that there's no enemy. That the devil cannot do anything. So that will not keep you at your guard in prayer. He always wants to use that deception to hold Christians. That there's nothing. We are more than conquerors. Don't worry. The devil is not doing anything. You see, a great and effectual door was open. Meaning there was a door of ministry to go into television, to do some things, to start a new assignment for the Lord. But the adversary, the blockage was too much. You go and see, I'll show you in the scripture, different places where Apostle Paul was asking believers to engage in prayer on his behalf. He was begging them to engage in prayer on his behalf. Maybe I should show you one. Let me show you. Romans 15 and verse 30. Romans 15:30. Let me read it to you. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Strive means engage in spiritual struggle through with me. Meaning he was going through some things. Strive with me in prayers. So that I can, look at verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Meaning, these are the people that brings blockage to his advancement in ministry. They block his chances. They steer people up against him. Praise God. What does it mean to prevail? To prevail means to gain ascendance, to mount up high. No wonder the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall be mounted up with wings like eagles. Mounted up. So to prevail means to gain ascendance through strength and superiority. To become effective and effectual in all endeavors. Number 3, to gain predominance, to exert control and controlling power or influence, to exert controlling. That is what, when the Bible says in Acts 19:20, in the city of Ephesus, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Meaning, the word of God had the controlling power in that city. The word of God had gained influence. The word of God is ascending. Praise God. And so, beloved in the Lord, I want to encourage you, please, take your time to pray. Pray in the morning, pray all the time. Now, it's important that you schedule time for prayer. You cannot be a consistent praying person if there's no scheduled time. Because some of you say, I will just pray. You may end up all through that day not praying. And lastly, let me tell you this. Never depend on your yesterday prayer and say, I prayed yesterday. You only celebrate yesterday victory. If you are talking like that, most of us, we are deceiving to, we just finished 7 days consistent prayer and fasting, let me rest. What? If you are resting, rest praying. Somebody was asking Miss Migu's words. He said, you don't rest. You're always walking. Say, how? He said, I rest. Say, how do you rest? And he started speaking in tongues. Say, that is how I rest. That is my rest. That is my rest. So, beloved in the Lord, pray until you prevail. Haven't you seen, when Jesus was telling them, he said, pray until what? Until, that's talking about prevailing prayer. You don't give up until you prevail. He was telling them in John. You don't say, God has, you don't go back and sleep until you see evidence. You keep hammering. You keep mounting up momentum. You keep pushing. For 14 days, I was praying and fasting. Every night, I will wake up and pray. I didn't have money to get the house. I was telling you about a story. I wanted the house for myself. I didn't have money. I was just trusting God, you know, that God will do. I was praying 14 days. After the prayer, let me tell you something, what prayer has done. Prayer has a way of pulling people's hearts to your desire. That same week that I finished prayer, I finished it on a weekend. Monday, I resume. One of my colleagues called me. She said, I just rented a self-contained 2-bedroom flat. And my parents say, I'm a lady. I should not rent the house. She's looking for somebody. She didn't know I was looking for house. I only talked to God. I didn't talk to man. And men came talking to me about it. And she said, I'm looking for someone that would, even if the person did not have money, let the person pay me back later. And I started smiling. I was too confident it was my answer. As she was talking, I knew this, I prevailed. Do you know for how long I was looking for that house with money I didn't get until I spent the money? In fact, I gave somebody 60,000, they ate my money. But when I went to the place of prayer, I prevailed. The Bible says, Jacob fought with an angel and prevailed. That describes a prayer life. That you don't give up until you prevail. And the lady started talking. She said, anytime the person, I say, I'm the person. Say, I'm the person. She said, hey, you need house. And you didn't tell me. I said, don't worry. She said, okay, let me give you. She gave me the key that day. Without a penny. Okay, listen. When Jesus was saying, things like this cannot happen except by prayer. It covers every area, sir. And listen, that same day, She said, okay, even if I didn't have the money, that after 1 month, I can pay her the money. I said, okay, no problem. Now, I've gotten a house. I packed into the house without 1 naira. Self-contained, room and parlor. I had my toilet and my kitchen, only me. And one of my colleagues said, do you know, I'm thinking of something. I said, what? He said, I want to give you my salary this month so that you will give me your own next month. I said, why? He said, I just felt we should do it. Ah! And listen, Listen to me. The amount of money I need for the end of the month was more than my salary. So for God to make it complete, he had to steer the heart of someone. He said, give him your salary. They didn't know what they were doing, but I know what was happening to them. Listen to me. You can win any day, anytime. Pray. If you don't know what to do again, settle for prayer. And it is good not to waste your time trying to look for what to do. Start with prayer. Because some of us waste time trying so many things. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 4, he said, we should worry for nothing. He said, be anxious for nothing. With prayer and supplication, let your requests, meaning for no reason should a believer have something that will cause him depression. It's a pointer that you don't have a prayer life. If you see a believer going through depression, you can't have a prayer life and you are depressed. It's not possible, sir. It's not possible, 100%. You can't have a good, sound prayer life and you are depressed. It's either you are not praying and depression takes over you because there is anxiety on your life. See, a lot of believers today, high blood pressure, depression, all kind of sicknesses that should be heard among unbelievers. That disease, it's not, it can't sleep. Pray. Pray 1 hour, you sleep off. Praise God. So I want to encourage us, the only way to prevail is the prayer of faith. The effectual prayer of the righteous. Effectual prayer. Make tremendous things to happen. And so I trust God that even, let me tell you something about the current crisis all over the world. We have won it in prayer long ago. Listen to me. We are the one controlling what is happening. And we have won. The Lord has broken the siege. The truth, people are coming to know the light. Why? Prayer put us in charge. Prayer put us in control. When believers don't pray, the devil takes over. When believers pray, God takes over. Can you bow down your heads and talk to God? And say, God, keep me. Keep me on. Keep me on. Let my strength for prayer not go down. Keep me on. Keep me burning. Keep me burning. Let the fire of my spirit not go down. Holy Spirit, keep me burning for you. Thank you, sweet Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Father, Lord, we thank you. Blessed be your name. We pray for all our online viewers that you will bless them. You will increase them. You will impact them. Through this program of prayer, you will touch their life. They will have testimony. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.